have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam as Illinois extends their winning streak to 9 games here. 75-66 over the Huskies. The no Boswell era remains perfect. We exit January here with another win. We enter February in the heart of Big Ten contention. It's our best start since 2005, 2006. Can't remember if Illinois had a good year that year, Johnny. You might have to fill me in on that one. I was busy during the Final Four, but ho-hum, another win.
Worse year than they'll have this year, so.
Okay, well, so 05-06 would be the 06 season. So that year they lost in the second round.
I always get screwed up by that. Yeah. I do that all the time. I make that mistake or I'm always off by a year.
But either way, great start. First month for Underwood where we've gone undefeated, at least in kind of the December. Like January, we did not lose a single game. Underwood has not done that in his career. Correct. Nebraska was December.
Yeah, that was like mid-December.
Sam's birthday.
I'm an asshole friend there for not knowing that one.
Yeah. But it's been a great 9-1 in the Big Ten. We're at the halfway point and we're 9-1. Boys.
Quartile
an
alert.
Undefeated quartile.
Quartile alert.
Undefeated quartile, and it was.
We said 4-1. Purdue at Mackey.
You're right. We said 4-1. You said 4-1. Yeah.
Then without Boswell for what four?
But that
five?
Wasn't like that. We didn't know that before the quartile.
But we got that 20% into the quartile.
We were also without
40% of the quartile.
We were without Mihailo as well.
He just didn't play.
We were without. So since Brad has got to Illinois, this is the first calendar month where. He's gone without a loss.
That's the stat he just said. I just don't believe it.
Really? Wow.
I'm trying to decide if that's that's pretty hard.
Okay, there's a chance he might have like November's maybe not lost any games, but I'm almost positive that full month. I am positive full month.
I mean, it is really hard. It is really like it makes sense.
You gotta win like especially if you're doing it during the Big Ten season, that's like eight Big Ten games or something. 7-8 Big Ten games. That's remarkable right there. Yeah, that is. We'll just have to double check that, but Johnny feels really
Johnny's very confident.
I can't see this. I just see a laptop up.
I've got the Ken Palm. Yeah, not
are
counting.
You on private browsing Ken Palm there, Johnny?
Exactly. Not counting like 2021 where we played 3 games in November, but when you played a full slate of games in a month. First time that he's gone undefeated. He almost went undefeated in January of 2020. We lost the first game January 2nd, then won like 7 straight.
January 2020.
Yes. That was
surprised.
Like.
Yeah, that was right when the turnaround was happening.
Yep.
Like that, it's kind of, I don't want to get too focused on this, but I do. It's kind of funny that was like the closest month.
Yeah,
but there I digress.
Then you had February 2021 where we lost one game and it was Michigan State, but that was like a span of where you won 15 of 16, but you lost late February and then your next loss wouldn't be until like late March. But
also, was that the Maddie Sissoko game?
That was the Maddie Sissoko game.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Big time injury, even though IO returned to the game. And then one of many times when an Illinois player has returned to the game and then turned out to be very not okay.
A perfect month, boys. It really was a perfect month when you think about it. In many ways.
I mean, best month.
Oh, yes. For you, Maddie. For Maddie, it was a perfect month.
Look, I do want
to. 2025 national champions. That's another one of those where the date is like.
Thanks, boys. Where were you the night that the Hoosiers won the national championship? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That was, man, I bleed cream and crimson. What can I say? Before I got into U of I was like, we're going here, Mom. So, yeah. You know I'm kidding, okay? Obviously, I wasn't rooting for them, Josh. You're such a hater.
But do you think this was the best month of Keaton Wagler's life? Like, if you asked him, you got to think, right?
I hope it was for him. I hope he was getting handsomely rewarded for putting up 46 points at Mackey Arena over the weekend. Look, can we rewind to Saturday? Look, if it wasn't clear, I gotta be a little honest with you guys. I may have been a little drunk during the episode. I don't remember a ton of it. I briefly remember Keaton scoring a bunch of points and Braden Smith faking an injury. But aside from that, you guys are going to have to fill me in on what happened during that game. Now, all jokes aside, I do feel like we didn't properly just like address the gravity of the situation in that moment, or at least I didn't, because I was really focused on Alex Honnold climbing the skyscraper that it really was lost upon me, the gravity of the moment. And I do just want to apologize because my attention span was getting shifted in all different directions.
You do edit the podcast. I don't know if you fully listen to it when you're editing it, but like we did like say like maybe five times.
We tried
just how amazing it was. But it's okay that you don't remember it.
To the point that I was saying, I'm less impressed by this guy scaling a building and more impressed by Keaton Wagler putting up 46 at Mackey.
It was more impressive.
It's never been done before. 46 at Mackey, period, let alone a freshman.
That's fair. Do you think that Keaton Wagler has a smaller amygdala than Alex Honnold? Like, he just has no fear receptors. He goes into Mackey Arena, just no fear, and just torches up Purdue for 40 minutes right there. So, good job, gentlemen, stepping in and really being able to highlight the moment right there while I was crippled on the sideline there after my birthday party. So thanks for doing that. But that was a fun day.
I appreciate the apology.
Would agree. We are recording a podcast about the Washington game. So
we usually stay on task. Yeah. Well, we're really good.
Well,
at
we didn't
task.
Really do the Purdue one right, so we're taking care of that, and then we can.
You're not done. We're not done talking about Keaton Wagler's 46 point. Like, are you done? Do you think we're not going to reference it on another episode?
Let's talk about his 22 tonight.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to like.
7.
Yeah.
So he went AP on the road versus a top 10 team, 46
points.
All right,
can we focus on tonight?
He on the road. No, I'm like kind of recapping how we got here. On the road, 46 points against top 10 team. Then at home, less than 50% of that.
So you're not impressed.
Against an inferior team.
Yeah.
You're not impressed.
Just a drop-off. Just
multiple missed free throws.
You're up and down. You're up and down, Vontae.
He left a lot of points on the board there in the first
half.
He
doubled his assist count, which in this game, I'm going to count as more important compared to maybe who had a higher assist count in the last game.
You know what's funny, though, is when Braden Smith was getting all those assists last game, we're like he would pass it and some guy would make a shot. And we're like, oh, great, that's an assist.
Yeah, he's a merchant. Keaton was just getting his guys going because he saw again at the start when it was only Keaton scoring, like, hey, I'm going to need other guys tonight. So started passing the ball. David, great performance. I did think this might have been Keaton's best, like, driving to the hoop game. Like, he was really getting to the basket, which was nice to see. And good to see him have answers for, hey, you're an amazing three-point shooter. Now the defenses are going to be really tight on you. And he just responded with, okay, I've got good handles. I'll get to the hoop. No problem.
He'll get to the hoop and he'll make the extra pass if he has to. And a lot of times that led to an extra pass. And that was like very pretty basketball, but it all starts with probably the pick that is being set on Keaton's guys for him to drive. We're talking X's and O's here and he's going downhill. And the defense swarms, you know, and
lost
Keaton's
me.
Just yeah. Oh, sorry, you're lost.
Are we
okay,
still
so
still
ball,
basketball?
We
are
want
we
to go
basketball?
In hoop, and ball goes in hoop. But he,
you said
I thought
it's a football thing.
Today's performance wasn't 50% worse, Sam. That's my takeaway today. I would actually say it was Maybe his second best game.
In the last two games.
What was his best game?
The last one.
What did you
The
guys
next one.
not to go back against Purdue, but what did you guys think of Ben McCollum kind of
Wait.
insulting Purdue's defensive approach to Keaton?
I didn't hear that. Can you elaborate that?
I think it was Ben McCollum who said Purdue was, he was talking about their switching.
Oh.
I think this was in the same conversation where he said he recruited Keaton Wagler. And I don't think I'm making this up. I need to find it.
No, you're not wrong, but people misheard what he was like. There was a very big Illini contingent going after Ben McCollum this week because he was talking about how he identified Keaton Wagler at Drake. And then like there was like no, everyone was being like, no, he went to like Illinois was the first like second power five, and like he it was more of just like
Well, I think they
he's
misinterpreted
trying
if
to
he even
take
got an
credit.
offer.
He's
Yeah.
trying to take credit,
He
but
did get an offer. He
like
did
if
get an
you
offer.
liked
He
him
did get
so
an, he actually
much
did
when you
get an
went to
offer from
Iowa, why
Drake.
didn't you? Yeah. He
Right.
did get an offer from, oh, because Illinois, apparently Illinois' NIL deal was just way above whatever Iowa could offer.
Which, by the way, one funny thing about that is Tyler Underwood, I guess, was kind of like having weekly phone calls with the Wagler parents. And after the first week, he calls the Wagglers and he's like, this is during the summer. He's like, yeah, Keaton's doing great. Second week, he says, you guys need to hire an agent.
Wow.
Like, so to your point, I don't think we were paying him a lot of NIL, but
Yeah.
then week
I hope
two,
that.
he's like, yeah, he's going to be really good. He's probably going to the NBA. You should hire an agent.
Jeez, I hope that call didn't drop. Damn. That is impressive. Shout out Tyler. Tyler's doing a great job with the offense this year, fellas. We got the number one KenPom offense of all time. I'm seeing these reports of he's studying NBA offenses. Let's give Tyler some flowers. I feel like he's obviously come under fire. Last year especially, he's always going to you're always going to come under fire when, your last name is the same last name as the coach. It rhymes with schmepetism. People are always going to say that. Like, let's give Tyler some credit here. This offense is humming. Speaking of humming, we're going to talk about Ben Hummerkaus, but let's give the Tyler a little bit of credit here, because I know people were barking last year saying, get this man off my coaching staff.
Friend of the program.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that I do kind of miss the days when everyone talked about Tyler and Hamer as if like they were the only they were taking over the team, and Orlando Antigua and Brad Underwood had no control over the team. Everything that was happening was under their purview and their fault. And Brad and Orlando and all of our legit assistants were just like prisoners watching it.
They're like, we
Somehow.
can't change anything.
This
Yeah,
defense
Jeff
is Alexander is literally
Jeff.
not
Yeah.
allowed to talk to the players,
Yeah.
but it's fine.
We're being
But
held
yeah, it was
hostage
funny.
with.
The start of this game, what we didn't score for the first 3 minutes, and it
Yeah.
was very funny of like, oh man, here come the people on Twitter. Oh, is this really the number one offense? But
It
they
got to
figured
a
it out pretty
dark
quick.
spot. We have a
Yeah.
good offense. Sam lit up. Sam lit up seeing when I said that. We have a good offense. That's a throwback.
Michigan high school football.
Michigan High School Football Championship.
At
They got their swagger back.
one point during the first 10 minutes of the first half, there was a tweet out there that says, I'm not gonna lie, Andre is one of the worst evals the staff has ever
No,
had.
we're not putting that
Oh, give
on
me a
here. We're
break.
not doing that on here. Did you know that anyone can tweet anything and there's no actual like did you know that there's no like in the same way that we can say anything we want and there's no accountability here, anyone can put anything on the internet.
I do love that take when it's like someone who every school in America recruited.
Yeah, just a
It's
huge miss by the staff for
like
a guy who,
people
yeah.
pe like when Lovie got hired, people were like, oh my God, what a hire. And then they're like, I can't believe we hired Lovie.
Like he would have been great. Any middling college football program like Illinois would have been an A plus hire for any of these schools, essentially. You're saying, yeah. Let's talk
Well,
about
he's just saying that like that
it
person
was,
might have also
yeah.
praised the Stojakovic signing, who's now
That,
saying
yeah.
terrible eval by the staff. And like,
Terrible
did
eval
that
by the staff.
person
Every program in America recruited him, but Illinois somehow
and
got
like did
played.
that person watch the Texas Tech game where he put up 23 and we wouldn't win that game
Bama,
without him?
Maryland, you know, any of these
Yeah.
games, and I'm sure down the stretch in the tournament, there's no doubt he'll have a game or two where we'll say Andrei Stojakovic, that's an upperclassman that's stepping up in the tournament. Book it.
Do you guys want to know a fun fact? So Illinois number one in adjusted offensive efficiency in KenPom, which is a stat everyone references. They're also number one in raw offensive efficiency. Basically, that's like not that takes out your strength of schedule. Do you guys want to take a guess at who the number two team is in raw offensive efficiency?
If it takes out your
So not
strength of
accounting for
schedule,
yes.
strength of schedule.
is it some random ass school?
It'll make you chuckle.
Is it? I have
Is
no
it someone
idea.
unexpected?
I was surprised by it.
No
I'm gonna
idea.
say Virginia.
Nope. It's Akron. John Gross
Oh.
has the second best raw offensive efficiency in the country.
Good for Johnny. Like
Yeah.
that, he's got that program humming up there.
Nice guy.
Great
Nice
guy.
guy.
You know, probably unfortunately never really tried to cheat and get away with anything in college basketball, and probably paid the price for it in losing his job. But nice guy.
Akron's won seven straight. I think they're better than Miami of Ohio, but
Rank them. Rank them, you cowards.
that's my Mac. I mean, I just don't think Miami of Ohio is that good, but
Is that, are you saying that because you've like watched them, or are you saying that just because of the conference they play in?
I've watched them and the conference that they play. I mean, they've had three games in overtime, one against UNC Asheville, who's 219th in KenPom, one against Buffalo, who's 172nd in KenPom, another one against Kent State, who's 141. Like their schedule has been, they basically played the weakest non-conference schedule in the country. So not very impressed by Miami, that's for sure.
All right, let's maybe we'll get him like in the second round in the tournament or something like that. That would be pretty fun. In like a two, well,
First off, if we get them in the second round and they've won a game,
that's fine.
we're
Would you
already
rather
going.
have,
No, no,
okay, would you
no.
rather have them right now, or coin flip whoever like any other team basically
No,
that
I'd
you.
be glad to have them. I'm just saying, like, they may not be as overrated as they seem if they win a first round game and, like, upset a four seed.
Yeah, it
But,
was like playing Duquesne. Just
right.
winning a quad
Yeah,
two
yeah.
game.
And
That's true.
what happened against Duquesne?
Duquesne.
Yeah, we dominated
We
them.
beat him by 30. Yeah.
We
So,
dominated them. Johnny became famous.
and the rest was
The rest was
history
history.
that year.
Do you guys know which former Illini player's brother played at Ohio? And there are
And
actually,
I'm getting in trouble for going back one game.
I
and there are
stopped talking
actually.
because we could. I stopped talking because we like couldn't even talk about Hummer for 5 seconds.
And I'm in trouble for talking about the best Illini performance in history that happened to happen like 4 days ago. And you guys, Sam's like, whose brother's uncle's goldfish played defensive end for Division II
Time,
Mercyhurst
but
40
if you
years
think
ago?
about time, like it's kind of a circle because
Well,
John Gross.
yeah, and John Gross's half brother is the coach of Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would like to know where Dustin Ford is right now.
So wait, so
That's
whose brother was it, Sam?
Jalen Coleman-Lance, Isaiah Coleman-Lance
Oh.
played there.
Where's Dustin? Where's
The
Dustin?
other
I thought we were talking like a
potential
current
options.
player. Whatever.
I was
Other
thinking
potential options
Darius
were Tim
Paul.
Finke. Oh yeah, Darius Paul, Tim Finke. There were some other options.
Ben Hummerkaus might be out of his shooting slump now.
No, there's a theory out there that he can only hit contested threes, and I
There
buy
were
into that theory.
a couple catch and shoot, just like didn't even think, just get the ball, go. But if he can get hot at the right time here, look, he had a little bit of that like post-marriage, maybe like honeymoon kind of slump. Like we all go through it. Josh, you were not yourself in the first couple episodes after your wedding. Sam, you were not yourself in that Northwestern 100th episode spectacular. Like we get it. We're not at our best. We're not our best right after our wedding. So maybe we can get some distance behind the wedding here. He'll start to come into form here. Nice three at the end there with a couple minutes left. Maybe he's finding his stroke. Maybe he's finding his stride. Because if you know Brad's going to want to play him down the stretch because of his defense and his rebounding. And you just know it's gonna. There's gonna be a couple big games where he's gonna be playing down the stretch. A couple big rebounds, a couple big defensive possessions. If you can hit that three, Ben, one time, buddy, one time. I always say one time for Ben, even though I ask it probably 3 times per game. I ask one time. I've probably asked Ben 60 times this year for a one timer. So we're gonna need a couple more this year. But if he can, if Ben can hit those threes down the stretch, watch
Today
out.
was great. Today was great. That was like put the game away with that 1-3. And then there were a few others where like Washington just kept staying at that like 5 point, 8 point distance. And to just discard them was very, very nice. This was kind of like the perfect trap game win, sort of, where it's like, okay, it's not going to be sexy with the metrics. And you might be looking ahead because you've got Nebraska on Sunday. You just need a win in the win column. That's all you need. And glad that Ben was able
Absolutely.
to really contribute to that. My only complaint was that Keaton played 38 minutes. Like I would love for him to like kind of a short turnaround with a Sunday afternoon game, but you got to win the game, obviously.
This is one of those years where I'm like, oh, the grind of the Big Ten is so hard. And then I'm like, what if, I hate saying this, what if like the Big Ten isn't actually that good this year?
There's some pretty damn good
There's
teams at the
no, I know there
top.
is. Like Michigan murdered Gonzaga and MSU was pretty good in non-con. But
As long as we stay in that trapezoid of excellence, I'm
yeah,
thrilled.
that's true.
Is
Do we
that,
all follow the trapezoid of excellence?
where you pissed at Red Lion?
That would be a coctagon.
Okay, all right.
Which shape? How many sides is that? What shape is that?
I always got those confused. Yeah, I always got those confused. I've seen the graphic. Are we in it still?
We are still in it. I don't think there's gonna be a time when we get out of it when you have the number one offense in the country. I have a fun stat, and let me confirm it because I think I might have misread it. So let me just redo the math on this one.
Oh, is it the one about this being Brad's first winless or first perfect month? Because I saw that.
It is not that. Yeah, no, okay. So last year, Johnny, who had our highest 3-point percentage? I didn't ask Maddie or Sam, but like, sorry, just you
That's
gotta know.
fine. You know Johnny's gonna.
He'll savant it.
It was, I don't know if it was it Ben?
No. What was
No,
Ben last
it
year?
was
Like 32?
Tommy, okay. Tommy shot what, 35% last year? He,
35%. How many
yeah.
players this year are above that mark on Illinois from three?
Oh my God.
Oof. Probably like six.
Five. Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean,
You have a lot of similar players. Does it speak?
Tyler Underwood was kind of like talking about that in interviews, and he was saying like this year we really have been trying to value like shot selection and getting what they called gold medal shots versus bronze and silver, where it's like, how do we make sure we're not taking a contested three? How do we make the extra pass? How do we, and what he said was like, we expected like positive regression when you have that good of shot selection.
Look at this.
Interesting.
Look at the. That's an awesome quote. I mean, look at the shot charts, right? I mean, again, you look at the chart. I'm looking at it now,
Well,
and
the shot charts could show could be contested threes. You
right. It
don't know
doesn't
that.
show, but
Yeah.
at least it shows again. Like there is almost nothing in the mid-range. There is, no, you know, Washington took one, two, three, four, about five shots, kind of like free throw line jumper error. Illinois, none.
I was
Right.
talking
Yeah.
about
John,
three
yeah.
pointers. It's
Yeah.
fine.
He
Um,
was
but I'm
talking
saying, but I'm,
about percentage, but yeah.
but that's still a probably a that's not a valuable shot probably in Illinois' eyes when you're
Correct.
taking like
Yes.
a mid-range. I'm
Okay.
talking like a mid-range.
In the bronze and silver, they did say that, where they're like, the mid-range shot is not one that we value. So you're totally right, Maddie. They were
And
saying like
then
maybe Andrei Stojakovic, that could be a gold medal shot if he's wide open, but most guys, that's not really
yeah, the one
what they're
today,
looking for.
the Mirkovic like floater from the lane, that was just like not I would assume
Oh,
that's
the
not a gold
reverse
that's not a gold
fadeaway.
medal shot. But as a team, sorry, just to put the point in further, we shoot better than our best player last year. Like we shoot 36% as a team, and Vucevic shot 35.7% last year.
We were not a good shooting team last year, and it was very painful to watch us shoot down this, go 3 for 22 in games down the stretch. So I think that, I don't know if that says more about how good, I mean, when you're the number one offense, yes, it says more about what you are as a team this year, but it also says a lot about how just bad of a shooting team you were last year. But when you can get a shit ton of offensive rebounds, even maybe a little bit of a contested three is still like a silver medal shot if you have a 30% chance of getting an offensive rebound. So keep firing away, boys.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the funny thing is like last year where we were the 14th best offense in the country and you did not shoot the three well. We were the 14th best offense shooting at the 300th best 3-point percentage. So
that's wild.
You shoot better from three. Like now we're middle of the pack. It's not like we're amazing. And you're the number one offense. Yeah, we're 70th in the country in threes.
We were kind of hypothetically saying at the end of last year, it's like, what if you shot threes good? And we're kind of seeing that right now. Like, if you shoot threes good and still rebound the ball offensively like you did last year and like you did this year too, like, apparently you have the number one offense of all time then, which is just still so remarkable to think. They said KenPom started in 1996, right? This is just, that's so incredible. That's thousands and thousands of offenses, right, over the last 30 years or so. That's so impressive. So that's cool.
And KenPom offensive rating takes into, if you get an offensive rebound, that counts as one possession, and then it counts your points towards that possession, right, Johnny?
Correct. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that like you see the reward as well of getting offensive rebounds and then scoring on those points.
Exactly. Like what they really factor in is what are your points per possession, right?
Yeah.
They're more interested in that than really any other stat because, and like other teams too, maybe they're putting up 100 points, but they have a 90 lot of possessions in a game versus Illinois, right? We're one of the slower tempo teams because we're maybe taking later shot clock, almost like trading a silver shot in the middle of the shot clock for a gold shot at the end of the shot clock. Like if you remember that Jake Davis three at the end of the Purdue game, right? That was at the buzzer, but Keaton could have taken like a contested shot earlier, but find that, kick the ball out, Jake Davis pump fake, hits a three at the buzzer. So this offense has been clicking. Like I've definitely been rewatching that. I don't know about you guys, but like the last few possessions against Purdue were just, everyone is just splashing threes. So much fun to watch.
Three in a row there. Yeah. Johnny, once, it's time to stop watching those highlights though. You can watch the Washington ones now this week. We're officially on from Purdue. It's also, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's like revenge season. Let's talk about Nebraska here. It's fucking revenge season. Look, this is gonna be a hard game. Obviously, you're going to Lincoln, notoriously difficult place to play. Playing Nebraska, notoriously known for their college basketball team, of course, and Fred Hoiberg. You're gonna be in there without Kylan Boswell Sunday afternoon. Like, this is for a share of the lead of the Big Ten now. So goes without say that this is your biggest game of the year so far. Who would have thought your biggest game would be, your February 1st game against Nebraska? But this is a big one here. So this is to go, basically go. Well, actually, I lied. You're nine and one in the Big Ten. You are technically tied record wise with Nebraska. You're obviously behind, just, because of the win loss. This would essentially propel you overall into first place on your lonesome own.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge game. And yeah, we probably haven't reflected enough that like we are 9-1 and tied for first in the Big Ten. Like that's pretty awesome. What an achievement there. Like
yeah, 9-1. Awesome.
You're like, if you go 6-4, you end up being 15-5. Like obviously we have higher sights because we want to win the Big Ten. But like, Josh, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's very awesome. And people forget, because we got chewed out like 5 years ago, that if you share a Big Ten title, it counts the same. Like, it counts the same. So that's all you're, like, getting this, the one up and having a game in hand for against all the other teams, well, against Nebraska at the very least, just just absolutely massive, especially with Michigan and Michigan State playing each other this weekend. Like, there's gonna be a lot of movement in our tiebreak of the top four teams in the Big Ten.
Still got to play both. Still got to
Still
play
got to
both
play
those.
both of
Still
them.
got to
It's
play both
happening
of them.
sometime this month,
Still got to play both of them. Yeah.
but like it's final, like, time to put the big boy pants on, you
Yeah,
know.
look, you've played the bottom, you played one, two, three, four. You've played essentially the entire bottom half of the Big Ten,
Yes,
with the
correct.
exception of Oregon, and you have to play the one, two, three, that you play the top three teams. You played Purdue. Five, six. You're basically playing the entire top half
Someone was trying to
of the
make the
Big.
argument today on CBS Sports Network. I saw the clip on Twitter, but someone was trying to make the argument that Nebraska hasn't played nobody. It was us. It was us. I mean, we've beaten Purdue, but in the Big Ten, like, we haven't played and beaten the top teams.
You're not
Yeah,
even one.
we've played the 16th easiest schedule, or I guess the third easiest schedule, 16th hardest.
Yeah.
Nebraska's played the sixth hardest. So yeah,
Yeah.
they've certainly considerably easiest one, obviously Michigan, no surprise there.
Oh,
So we'll
shocker.
see you tumbling down. That would have been so nice if MSU had lost to Rutgers. Ugh.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Rugster, they were up. They just a couple really bad decisions down the stretch there. One
And it
does not
all.
simply go in the rack. It's crazy. One does not simply,
No, one simply doesn't. It also just started in that morning when the article came out saying they're losing like $45 million a year, or
Johnny's text was the funniest. I don't want to take credit. Johnny goes,
I was like,
Johnny.
Rutgers got accused of being broke and locked in. Like,
Right, it was like Rutgers got accused of being broke, then locked the fuck in. It's so good. It's like, yeah, you know what? No one likes being called a broke boy, a broke daddy. So they're like, well, fuck this. Let's try to go beat a top 10 team. Unfortunately, couldn't pull it off. So yes. You gotta somehow find a way without Kyle and go into Lincoln on Sunday and pull out a win. I saw the first projected Big Ten tournament bracket. I mean, my God,
We're back.
it is like a scroll. This thing, you need like two monitors to see the entire thing. It starts on Tuesday. Like, you're fighting for like a quadruple bye. I mean, these bo they look what they've done to our boy. They change the logo. They make it all 18 teams. I mean, this thing is like a 6-day tournament now. I mean, like, obviously some of those teams that are going to be playing on that Tuesday likely aren't going to be playing, longer than Wednesday, if not Thursday. But you could be playing Tuesday through Sunday, theoretically. Like, they have made this thing into like a mini March Madness, essentially.
WCC tournament, basically.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, where you have Gonzaga that just plays in the semifinal every year, and that's their first game. But you could theoretically play the same amount of games in the Big Ten tournament that you would in the
In
in
March
actual March
Madness.
Madness if you won the entire thing. Like, you could have 2-18 Penn State play six games in the Big Ten and then win six in the tournament. It probably won't happen. I want to be very clear. Penn State probably won't win the whole thing. Just, I know you guys really thought that for a second. But that, I mean, look what they've done to our boy. I think it's kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. I think it's kind of awesome that every team makes it. And it's more basketball, but like, yeesh, that's a long tournament now. You guys want to go on the Tuesday and just watch the bottom four teams at the
Just
United Center?
celebrate that we're not there. Because
Because
remember
we've
when
done
we were
that.
there?
Yes, I remember we were there day once that, Wednesday, you're just like, it was against
Northwestern.
Northwestern, and it took like overtime. And then who did we get throttled? You guys remember getting throttled to the next day?
Iowa.
We got throttled by Iowa the next day, and that was the end of that season. So it's always a celebration when you're not playing on Tuesday in the Big Ten tournament. That's what the experts always say. If you're not, you never want to be playing on Tuesday in the Big Ten tournament. That's how you know your season's not going good. So Rutgers, Maryland, Oregon, Penn State right now are on the like quadruple bubble.
Rugster. I really thought Andres Feliz, like, ending Derek Pardon's career in that play-in game was like I thought that was like what we lived for. And
I
then the
just
next night we just got murdered.
Yeah, Sam, I just remember you being very upset about one thing at the end of the Iowa game, if you want to talk about
I don't know if I do.
it.
I, well, no, I actually, no, I will. I just remember Aaron Jordan in his last game, like kind of walking off the court with his head down alone. And I was like, that's kind of bullshit. Like, he gave his all to the program for 4 years, and he's just like no one's like, thank you for your 4 years. And then another Illinois basketball player's mom, was like doing some, it was Io's mom, was like doing some like Twitter trash talking as well after that game. It was just, it was messy. It was
Weird,
messy.
weird time. Weird,
Weird
weird
time.
times.
Weird time.
Pre-COVID, just weird, weird time in Illinois basketball.
Yeah.
Just weird.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, the Aaron Jordan one always sticks out, but that was one of the low points. And now we're 9-1 of the Big Ten,
Now we're nine
18
and
and
one.
three this season. Like, this
Yeah,
is it's so great to be a program, you
you having
know?
fun? You guys having fun?
Just
Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, we take it for granted, but even like we're just one of the few programs that's so consistently good. Like, take a look at Baylor right now. They're like
Yeah.
1-7 in the Big 12. Like, we kind of forget just how impressive, like, year in, year out, Brad just churns incredibly competitive teams.
Okay, I'm gonna ask
And
a hard question though. I'm gonna
yeah.
ask a hard question. This is a hard question. Baylor won a natty a bunch of years ago and obviously has struggled since. Illinois obviously has not won a national championship. And some people, you know, some very smart individuals out there would argue that they enjoy like the consistency of 20 win seasons more than one natty. But would you rather essentially, you know, I know we're, I guess now probably ahead of Purdue by a game or two, most wins in the Big Ten in the last like 6 years, but you can't get over the hump past the Elite Eight? Or would you rather have, you know, that incredible year that Baylor had in like 2020 was it, right? Where they won it all, but you haven't been consistent since. I think you could make the genuine argument for both, but you
Tom
did.
Fornelli
Tom
just
Fornelli
doesn't
is the
give a
one
fuck.
that
Yeah.
he
There
won.
is
He,
no way you make
it's
that
yeah,
trade.
it's obviously the Baylor.
Yeah.
But
Like Iowa State, consistently good. Haven't gotten past like the
the
Sweet
Sweet 16,
16.
that made me smile in between two games when one of
Yeah,
the
just like,
commentators was like, they haven't gotten past the Sweet 16.
yes.
Oh, well, who was in their way?
But like,
hi.
everyone remembers Baylor, like, and that amazing team. No one thinks like, Cindy asked tonight, like, why is Iowa State like kind of always good? And then she's like, well, they're a good basketball team. They just never win in March, you know?
Yeah,
It
but
was funny. We had some Purdue fans, I don't know, chirping us saying like, how many second weekends has Brad Underwood been to? And I was looking at it like Matt Painter didn't make the Elite Eight until his 14th season at Purdue. The point is just that like it takes a long time, and it's really just about like bites at the apple chances, and like hopefully this is the year Brad in Illinois breaks through and makes the Final Four. But I feel like sometimes we think like we don't account for the fact that like Brad's still like building and building and building a program, and in a single elimination tournament, that's not always going to be reflective of like
of
how
course
good
not.
of a team you have.
You
You
know,
know,
I've yes, Sam.
I was gonna say, you know what's crazy about Painter is he went no tournament, round of 32, round of 32, Sweet 16, Sweet 16, then round of 32, round of 32,
My God.
CBI, no tournament, round of 64, round of 64. Like,
Oh my
can you
God.
imagine Illinois?
CBI.
Our fans wouldn't
Imagine
allow
Illinois
that.
Twitter right now. Yeah, no, they would be coming for his neck right they would
there.
burn champagne down.
I always thought it was kind of dumb when, I'm not going to call it fluky, you know, when you have like a small team, like a MAC team or one of these random conferences who's like a 12 seed or a 14 seed and they have a nice year and they win their conference tournament and then they win one singular tournament game and then the coach is like the hottest commodity on planet Earth. It's like, yes, you had a very nice season and maybe you've kind of built your little conference team up a little bit and you still beat, you know, a power five team and you pulled like a double digit upset, but like, does that mean that you are worthy of like climbing the ranks to get like a power five? I'm not even trying to like throw John Gross under the bus. I know you, I feel like you've seen this in like the you know, like the 15 seed Georgia Southerns or the FGCUs, where it's like all of a sudden this coach is like the hottest thing since sliced bread. It's almost like you don't have to put your entire chips in the basket for, or whatever the phrase is, it's late, for judging a coach based off of just the tournament. That the, I don't know, 30 game season prior to that is probably a better judge of that. And Brad Underwood has absolutely kicked ass in the last 5 or 6 regular season years. We do this every year. We do this every year, and we'll continue to do it. We'll do this every single year. But I always thought it was interesting. A coach has like a really hot 2 weeks, you know, in their conference tournament, and they sneak in as like a 13 seed, and then they win one game, and all of a sudden, like, you're the head coach at like Georgetown, right? Not to say they're not a good coach, but I always thought that was a really interesting way to judge someone's like ability to bounce up a level.
I agree. Unless it's Fran McCaffrey, in which case I'm gonna absolutely use his tournament data against him
Well, you
just for
gotta, he's
fun.
got none. Well, he's got none. He had none. That's the difference. You gotta have like at least, I mean, Brad's been to the Elite Eight. Brad's taken SFA and he's taken Oklahoma State and he's taken Illinois now, you know, multiple half a dozen times. So there is obviously proof of concept there. Fran's never gotten out of the first weekend. How funny would that be if he did that like in his first year
At Penn.
at
That'd be Penn,
awesome.
if he just like
That would be
pulled
awesome.
just like
I'm
pulled
rooting
off a
for him now.
crazy
I'm rooting
weekend?
for him.
Yeah, how crazy would that be if he just like pulled off? I don't know how they're doing this year, but had like some crazy, you know, first weekend. But yes, that's our. We're gonna start getting into this as we. It's February, guys. So now that we're in February, we're starting to talk, you know, tournament stuff. Look, it's February. It's the shittiest month of the year. I'm so grateful that my basketball team is 9-1 here and that we have a chance to win the Big Ten. Like, this is all you ask for in the darkest, coldest, worst month of the year is for your college basketball team to be in it. You know, football season's over. You're still a few months away from summer. There's not much to look forward to. Like, Illinois basketball, you know, that's their slogan. Gets you through the cold, hard months.
It absolutely does. And great to have, like, hey, Super Bowl, the week between the Super Bowl. Oh, that's always a boring sports week. I don't know. That Sunday, Illinois's playing Nebraska.
That's
Like,
their that's and that's Nebraska Super Bowl.
true,
That's
true.
their Super Bowl right there, right? Yeah, it's helpful when Illinois basketball is good, it really makes the winter a lot easier to deal with. Anything else about this game before we
Well,
head out?
speaking of Super Bowls, right? I'm excited for Merck to see another big time crowd, right? He responded really well at Mackey, I gotta say. And he's been playing really well. Tonight, he was awesome. He's kind of, once again, flown under the radar just because Keaton's been amazing. But like David, just so consistent. I don't know about you guys, but at the start of the season, I was enjoying him, but I wasn't fully like bought into the hype as much as like, okay, yeah, he's beating up mid-majors, but the past few Big Ten games, I feel like he's really just played within himself and just been a really nice contributor. I don't know, Sam, if you feel differently, but I feel like he's been really steady.
I don't feel differently. He seems very, very aware of like what his role is in the pick and roll and whatnot. He just like seems happy to be there and happy to be part of the offense.
I don't know how happy he, I mean, he's happy now. I don't know how happy he wasn't going to be so happy the other day. Let's just
If
keep
he hadn't played.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
let's keep David happy.
he would be, I think he would be emotion agnostic. He said after the game, he said
Emotionally
he,
agnostic.
yeah, didn't emotionally unavailable. He said after the game today, he was proud of Ben. I was like, that's an alpha move. Like
He's like
the
if
seventh year
Georgie
guy.
like could contain his emotions.
Yeah, for now.
He say he was proud of a kid that was like a guy that was like 5 years, 6 years older than him.
He little bro'd him.
He
He
little
little
bro'd
bro'd
he
him.
little
Yeah, he
bro'd
alpha'd him.
Ben. Jeez,
He's
come
like, Ben could
on.
be a good college player one day. Ben
That's a
is, I see
married
potential in
man.
Ben.
That's a married and maybe you're just that's
We
a
are
married
judging
man right
every
there.
word this guy says, and this is like
Yeah.
his
In his
second
third
language, and
language,
he just
fourth,
learned English.
probably his like seventh language or something like that. He's like, you know, a kid. Yes. It's cool to see. Obviously he tore it up in some of the Q4 non-con games. So you're always thinking, you know, is it gonna translate over to conference play? Is he gonna hit a like freshman slump? It's cool to see him kind of find his rhythm here in Big Ten play. And it's great timing here.
You can say Aaron Jordan. Is he going to be Aaron Jordan?
It's funny, Josh. I was thinking that David's almost like Georgie if Georgie could hit threes, you know, like
and contain his emotions, because like David like can get emotional, but it's never like crossing a line, you know.
Georgie's emotions were great. Remember after was it after the Big Ten tournament, and he was
amazing.
Like, This is amazing. Yeah.
Like, and when and he then, controlled it, he was really good.
This is amazing. I love Georgie. Hey, don't be afraid to show your feelings.
We can get him back on the team for all we want.
Kofi's got another year.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting a little September call-ups here with Kofi and Georgie?
Yeah, we need more height. That's what this team needs.
Would you take Kofi right now? All right, here's you take Kofi, but you have to flip like a random wheel, and it also eliminates one random person from the team. But you get peak Kofi, like he's in peak shape. He's playing like the basketball he's playing right now. But you have to spin a wheel, and let's assume he knows the offense. Let's assume like he's got.
Does
like,
the offense stay the number one offense?
I don't know. That's for you to decide.
He's like joining the offense, right?
He's joining the offense. He knows, like, we pretend like he's kind of played with them all year. So he's got the chemistry. But you remove one player at random.
I don't know if I could take it.
It
seems like Sam was a yes.
I think so, because, like, you're out.
It's a yes. It's so stupid.
No, I don't know.
No, it's a yes.
He doesn't fit the offense, right? You can't play five out with him. He doesn't shoot three. He doesn't, you know, pull defenders out necessarily with him. Like, he doesn't really play your brand of basketball that you're playing.
He's
right
an all-American.
Zach Edey didn't play this brand. He got Purdue to the national championship.
He also got him out in the second round or to the whatever to
hey, that's not fair. Lee Dickinson.
Yeah.
You got me.
It's a great question though, because I agree with Kofi's maybe like my second favorite player of the Brad era, but like you already have big men who are good. If you were to basically trade Keaton for Kofi or trade even like Kylan for Kofi, that really like limits your ball handling capability. I guess if you lose anyone other than Keaton, you're probably fine.
Well, you have the embarrassment of like fours and fives, but you're kind of down. If you lose him for like for Kylan or for Keaton, I don't want to go into March without any of those dudes. Because then essentially if you have both Ivasai and Kofi, like, you can't play those three dudes at the same time. Like, then
exactly.
Playing like Ben, like you're playing Kylan and Ben or Kylan and Jay. Like, it's such a hard question. Sound off in the comments.
I just tweeted it just to see what the response would be.
Okay. Because I do think that's like a big part of Brad is that the sum of the pieces this year are better, or like the sum of the whole is better than the individuals. And like, yes, you would love to have Merez Johnson on this team, but his like shortcomings as a shooter kind of like clog the offense in a way that Keaton Wogler can get to the rim, partially because every defender has to respect the three-point shooting. You have to respect Tommy as a three-point shooting person. You have to respect David. You have to respect Jake Davis. You have to respect Zvonimir. You have to respect everyone so that those guys can't clog the lanes. Right. And then when you do sell out like Purdue did against Keaton, what happened? Tommy makes a three. Jake makes a three. David makes a three. And then finally they're like, okay, we won't sell out in Keaton. And then Keaton clear lane makes a two pointer. Like, it some of this is more about like the sum of the whole.
Well put, Johnny. I think I'm on team. Don't trade for Kofi before the deadline. After that one.
So you wouldn't take Kofi over Blake.
I was going to say, if AJ, no disrespect to AJ. He's not playing as, no, I'm keeping my boy Blake. If we're doing a redraft, I'm taking Blake 1-1 in our draft.
Keaton went way too high in that draft, by the way.
at least I took him. But that is a fun hypothetical question. These are the questions that we should be asking, right? These are the right questions we should be asking. All right. Anything else, boys? It's fun. It's a late night one. Can I do my Mick Cronin here real quick and be like, why did they schedule a champagne game, Pac-12 time? Like, why are we acquiescing? Like, you got to come to us. I don't want, this is nice. It was 6 o'clock local time for them. What is this? No. I want like a 5 o'clock game for us. I want it to be like post lunch. They're tired. This is ridiculous, Big Ten.
And of course, this is the one time the leading game ends at exactly 8 o'clock, but they spread it out with the 15 minutes. We were like,
Dude, can't
please,
I have a question? If it's like a 30-point game, like, can't we just start on FS2? Like, do we really need to?
I think it's
Like,
always slated for like 8:12 though, or 12 minutes after. I think that's
is
they
it?
always, yeah, because that's a big difference. That's a big amount of time to push a game back. I think it's always scheduled to start like 12 minutes after, because games don't go to 2 hours. They typically go a little bit, over 2 hours, and then they like to do the little pregame in the middle, where they talk about the post game of the first game and the pregame of the second game. So I think it's always slated to start, but the TV guy doesn't, just shows 2 hours. Just as a TV watcher, I feel like I've kind of picked up on that. So anyways, let's get that dub on Sunday, boys, against Nebraska. Let's get our revenge game on. I'm not rooting for the Patriots in the Super Bowl also, guys. Okay? Jeez, like, I got my win with IU in the Natty. I'm not also rooting for the Patriots. So you don't have to worry about that one. All right, let's have a great February, fellas. We'll catch you on the next episode, ILL.